Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this August the 2nd on the West Coast, now August the 3rd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and I'm going to go right ahead and bring on tonight's guest because we got a lot of material to cover. So rather than going into any opinions before the show or any developing news, that's always developing anyway, we're going to bring tonight's guest on. He hosts his own show on the Micro Effect Network, and that's the microeffect.com. The show is called The Story Behind the Story, and this gentleman is also a naturopathic doctor, a PhD, an excellent researcher, author, also a lecturer, documentary film producer, investigator, journalist, you name it. And he's also a musician, like myself, my good friend, Dr. A. Drew Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Don. It's a pleasure to be on the show. I'm feeling much better, actually. I was a little punk today. I don't know what happened. I woke up with a sore throat, swollen adenoids, and headache that just would not cease. And I just didn't do much today. And my throat was swollen up, and I didn't know if I'd even be able to do my show. But I'm feeling lots better tonight. So. We're on and doing good, and heaven forbid, knock on wood, the computer is running fantastic for once.
Well, that's great. Now, since you were feeling a little punk this morning, does that mean you're feeling a big punk tonight? Or
no, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling a hunk.
All right. Well, it's great to have you on the show. Hope you had a great weekend. Got a lot of work done on my end. All over the place. So nothing in particular, but everything, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
I was on Drew Rain's show today, and I happened to play a few snippets of the rhetoric that came out of Washington, Chicago, and along the campaign trail in 2008. It's rather synchronous that you asked me to play a particular clip. And I think I'm getting this feeling this week that we're going to talk a lot about the illusion, about the lies that we're being told. We are the media now. We have to get it out of people's heads, out of their minds, that they're going to turn on their TV set and begin to hear the truth. It's just not going to happen. Do you agree with that, first of all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's something's... We're the only ones talking about the things that should be fairly obvious. And, yeah, absolutely, I agree with that.
Okay, so in tribute to some comments that were made recently, and, you know, I want to sketch out, let's say, a foundation of what we're told, how this country is going to be run, what we can expect to see, as we were promised change, and of course they promised us hope, or we hoped that they promised us change, or they changed us to hope, or it doesn't really make sense because it was just a bunch of rhetoric. Here's a bit more rhetoric from the individual that I affectionately now call the short-legged Mac Daddy. And it's a short clip here, so bear with me.
And, you know, we're betraying what I think is a solemn pact that we make with our veterans. My father served in World War II, and when he came home, he got the services that he needed.
Very interesting comment. Now, it wasn't but within the last week, and certainly over the past couple of weeks, that there was a proposal to cut back benefits for veterans. In fact, they were going to be required to pay their own health care, if you recall that statement. But the really critical statement made here was, my father served in World War II. Now, who is his father? It certainly isn't Barack Obama Sr. from Kenya. And who did he serve with? Was he in the Kenyan National Guard, or did he serve while he was at Harvard, or did he serve at the University of Hawaii at Manoa? See, he's a totally fictitious character created by one or two photographic images, which were composites, a completely bogus story about meeting his future wife in a Russian language class. There's a big clue in that. Where would he have served? And then he came home, he said, as if Barack Jr. was somehow there witnessing this event. This would be an event that occurred some 16 years before he came onto the planet. it's absurd. Your comments on that clip.
Well, it's more than that. You look at the birth date of Barack Hussein Obama Sr., born in 1936, ladies and gentlemen. Do the math. World War II, he had to be 5.5 years old by the time the U.S. entered the fray. What did he serve in? Did he serve in as a child servant to the general or something? I don't know. You know, there's no way he was a military man. He was 5.5 years old.
Well, they told us these stories, too, that his father was a poor goat herder, and that he was a cook for the British Army. So his grandfather, this is the alleged grandfather on the Kenyan side, you know, none of these stories add up, Drew. I just have to say, I've spent... Well, so much time researching all this stuff. It just goes nowhere.
Even if he was to, quote, serve, remember that during World War II, any African-American that came in were basically put in galley duty or latrine duty or KP duty. They really didn't see much action at all in the war, and that's a fact. So... if he did serve, if he was the age to serve, he wouldn't have sought any active combat for the most part. That all changed with Vietnam, where the African American troops became cannon fodder. But no, it's absolutely an absolute falsehood. Another lie, mm-hmm. Another huge lie.
He the father would actually have had to at least been 9 years old. I think that's the point where they allow them to actually go into battle. Of course, I'm being...
And it's no difference between if it was talking about Lolo Sotero, if that's who was talking about his his foster, adopted father, that's no different, ladies and gentlemen. It was just, there's just a 6 months difference in birth dates between Lolo Sotero and Barack Obama Sr. So it's all a lie. It's all a lie.
Yeah. Well, the Lolo Sotero story is supported by a composite photo, absolutely composite. Every person in that photo has been added into the photo by hand. And the alleged School registration in Jakarta, Indonesia, is on the back of a piece of graph paper that says scores points. Okay. And it's got drawn in lines. Now, I mentioned on Drew's show that I came to the conclusion that whatever agent, whether it's CIA or NSA or whomever, that actually compiled all of the Obama family photographs, including the ones with the Dunhams, left those anomalies in those photographs so someone would find them. And I did. They were found. No one could be that absolutely incompetent. I think they intended for us to find them. And as I just said, we did.
Yeah, you did. Most people, me included, I think I'm fairly astute, and I think I have a fairly high IQ, would not have bothered to dig that deep, Don. You have, but you're above the curve, okay? Most Americans are even, well, they're way below the curve. They would never question that. So, yeah, there was no need to really be graphic. People just seem to see it, read more, hear more on the TV, and that's all they question.
Yeah.
That's as far as it goes. Good enough for me. But you, no, you're trained. Your trained eye can see that, and you jumped on it like stink on a dog.
or stink on a cow chip, one of the two.
Gotcha. But, it's funny. It's just funny, ha-ha, weird. I had a conversation, golly, back in June with a fellow who he lives in Florida, was one of the people that gave Jane Burgermeister quite a bit of money donated to her. He was at first very vocally opposed to me. I shouldn't be attacking Jane this way. It's divisive, yada, yada, yada. And I kept telling him, no, 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 I'm a porcupine. I go about my own business. She's the one that attacked me, and I'm just poking her back with some quills.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality. Well, they contacted me and says, she's completely gone away. I says, yeah, she has, but, I'm sure she's listening to my broadcast. I know she is. And she knows the... I said it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever to have her start getting reimmersed by being framed for something bogus. And we had this discussion, and lo and behold, it's exactly what's happening. I was kind of being facetious, but here we have this nut job just now, saying how she's being framed and prosecuted unfairly for whatever. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this lady is dangerous. Again, it's there she is. Oh, I need some money to support my fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, I recall her saying that, it was her mother was Irish and her father was Swiss.
Austrian?
Swiss,
yeah.
I think she said. Swiss-German. The mother, according to a document that someone had sent me a link to, I looked at a couple of the pages. It's all in German, but the first thing she says is, I was born in Vienna. that kind of disputes the mainstream story that we've heard from everybody else.
Yeah, she is just way bizarre. I mean, there's no other thing for her to, no other drum for her to beat. I mean, she put all of her eggs in the swine flu bag. And I kept saying, this thing is a hoax designed to do what? To sell vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get Barack Obama arrested. You're not going to file charges. You're not, this is all just a big media ploy. But the purpose I was on the air and vocal about it is just saying, trying to tell even one person the truth not to go get a blessed vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the message that they needed to be focused on, not all these criminal charges and this potpourri of gobbledygook.
Yes. Now, talk about placating foreigners in Europe and bringing up an issue of the war. We have more BS from BO. And I'd like to play another clip. This is about a minute and a half, minus about 3 seconds here. And this is regarding his uncle who freed the prisoners at the Auschwitz concentration camp.
His uncle did that?
His uncle.
Holy mackerel, this guy's amazing. He gets around.
Have a listen.
His campaign tried to clean up a sizable Memorial Day gaffe about his family's role in liberating a notorious Nazi concentration camp.
I had a uncle who was one of the who was part of the first American troops to go into Auschwitz and liberate the concentration camps. And the story in our family was that when he came home, he just went up into the attic. And he didn't leave the house for 6 months.
Obama's point dealt with the need for more mental health services for today's veterans, but it was built on false history, both about his family and World War II. First, Obama didn't have an uncle who served in the U.S. Army. Second, Russian forces liberated the Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland in January of 1945. There is no record of U.S. forces entering Auschwitz because it remained in Russian hands as part of Russian-occupied Poland after the war. Barack Obama's dubious claim is inconsistent with world history and demands an explanation, the Republican National Committee said in a statement. Obama's frequent exaggerations and outright distortions raise questions about his judgment and his readiness to lead as commander-in-chief.
And there you have it. His uncle. And his uncle pulled an Anne Frank and went into the attic for 6 months.
Well, maybe he's talking about his Russian uncle, that the brother of the guy that helped clone him.
Yeah, his uncle, or the Uncle Franz there. In
Uncle Boris! Uncle Boris did this.
Okay, well, there you have two distinct lies now. Not only is this a fictitious family, but who they are and what they did are becoming more and more, or expansively more, what do you call this?
Woo-hoo-hoo! Jane Burgermeisteress.
You couldn't sell this story in The Wizard of Oz, in a remake of The Wizard of Oz. You couldn't sneak that in there. The Munchkins would figure it out.
No, this is called the Burgermeister Complex.
Okay.
Let's call it the BM. Complex.
Ah, I got you.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right, I'm going to play another clip here now. These are assertions made to the people of the United States. That's about as kind as I can be. They're assertions. Now, it's up to the listeners to determine whether these are true or false.
I don't think that my church is actually particularly controversial.
I have already condemned in unequivocal terms the statements of Reverend Wright that have caused such controversy and in some cases pain.
This is a church that I have been a member of for 20 years. This is a well-established, typical, historically African-American church on the south side of Chicago. With a wonderful set of ministries, and what I have been hearing and had been hearing in church was talk about Jesus and talk about faith and values and serving the poor.
For some, nagging questions remain. Did I know him to be an occasionally fierce critic of American domestic and foreign policy? Of course.
Did you know that he had made these statements before the videotape appeared?
You know, frankly, I didn't. I wasn't in church during the time that these statements were made. Now,
did I ever hear him make remarks that could be considered controversial while I sat in the church? Yes.
I did not hear such incendiary language myself personally, either in conversations with him or when I was in the pew,
did I strongly disagree with many of his political views. Absolutely.
Had I heard those in the church, I would have told Reverend Wright that that I profoundly disagreed with them. They didn't reflect my values and they didn't reflect my ideals.
Just as I'm sure many of you have heard remarks from your pastors, priests, or rabbis with which you strongly disagree.
And had I heard or known about some of these statements, I would have been very clear about it.
But the remarks that have caused this recent firestorm weren't simply controversial. They weren't simply a religious leader's efforts to speak out against perceived injustice.
Do you repudiate the man? Do you repudiate the comments? Do you repudiate both?
No, I would not repudiate the man. As I said, this is somebody who I have known for 17 years. Help bring me to Jesus and help bring me to church.
Instead, they expressed a profoundly distorted view of this country.
Do you not know, though, that, I mean, you know, a couple days after 9/11, he said, you know, this was America's chickens coming home to roost, a result of what he called American terrorism around the world? I mean, you may not have been there, but had you must have heard that he had said these things.
A view that sees white racism as endemic.
And so many of the sermons that I heard were extraordinarily powerful. One of them, which I've written about, titled The Audacity of Hope, is one that I helped inspire my convention speech. And
a view that sees the conflicts in the Middle East is rooted primarily in the actions of stalwart allies like Israel.
So no one in the church ever said to you, man, last week you missed this sermon, Reverend Wright said this, or, I mean, I think I read in your book that you used to listen to tapes of Reverend Wright when you were at Harvard Law School.
I did.
So you had no idea.
I did not.
Now, some will see this as an attempt to justify or excuse comments that are simply inexcusable.
This is somebody who was a former U.S. Marine, who is a biblical scholar, who's preached and taught at theological seminaries all across the country. I have to confess that those are not statements that I ever heard when I was sitting in the pews at this church.
And this helps explain, perhaps, my relationship with Reverend Wright. As imperfect as he may be, he has been like family to me. He strengthened my faith, officiated my wedding, and baptized my children.
You can walk out of a church. I mean, you can go up to a pastor
and say, this is
wrong.
And as I said, Anderson, if I had heard any of these statements, I probably would have walked out, and I probably would have told Reverend Wright that they were wrong.
I can no more disown him than I can disown the black community.
Your campaign saying this afternoon it had no plans to ask Reverend Wright to step down. Obviously, that has changed. Did he step down tonight, or did you ask him to leave?
You know, I think there was a recognition that he's on the verge of retirement. He's taking a sabbatical, and that it was important for him to step out of the spotlight in this situation.
And yet to wish away the resentments of white Americans, to label them as misguided or even racist, without recognizing they are grounded in legitimate concerns, this too widens the racial divide.
And so our belief was that the most appropriate way to handle it was to be very clear about my strong condemnation of the statements, but to continue to be a part of the church.
Now, Dr. Ott, I have some comments that I'd like to make, but I want to give you an opportunity to just respond to some of what you heard there.
Oh, it's master politician doublespeak. No doubt about it. That's a brilliant soundbite. He's both sides of the spectrum. No doubt about it. This man is a consummate con artist, lying to say what, you know, just to blend in and to hide away. Oh, yeah, incredible.
Now, I find it rather ironic that he said that he went to the church for 20 years. I dealt with this issue in my Three Stooges Go to Washington serial articles that were in the Idaho Observer and on my website, directlightproductions.com, for those that are unfamiliar with where that is, under articles. And he's very confused about the amount of time. He's attended the church for 20 years, he said. He was saying that during the time of the campaign. By the timeline, and according to his book, when he alleged to have joined the church, it was a total of 16 and a half years. And that's assuming that he was giving us accurate information. 16 and a half years. Now, we heard 20 years. He attended the church for 20 years. And how did he do that while he was at, say, Harvard University? When he was allegedly at Harvard University, and I reported this in my article, he had acquired 17 traffic tickets in the amount of $140 and a $260 penalty added to that, total of $400. That wasn't paid until he announced his candidacy in 2007. And it was downplayed by his spokesperson for the campaign, said lots of people have tickets and they go unpaid. This is hardly presidential material. In one instant, he got 8 tickets within a week. And there were some days where he got multiple tickets in the same day. I tried finding out from the reporter that wrote that story at the Somerville News in Massachusetts, if he recalled seeing or did he still have a copy of any of the citations? Because they usually write down the make, model, and license plate of the vehicle. And I was just interested in finding out what kind of car he was driving. Well, it came out somewhat later that he was driving a BMW. Quite a bit of machine for someone who allegedly slept and hung out with the bums in the back alleys at Columbia University. And then goes to Hawaii, goes to Harvard, and racks up a bunch of parking tickets. Those tickets were out there for 19 years plus, over 19 years. That's the only legitimate track record we have of where he was at a given time, and the fact that 19 years plus transpired before those tickets were paid.
Yeah, wow,
astounding, but. You notice he mentioned, I went to the church for 20 years, and he's known Reverend Wright for 17. Now, does that mean Reverend Wright started pastoring that church 17 years prior? Well, he alluded to the fact that he went there because of the man. I'm not buying any of it, to tell you the truth. None of it makes sense.
Oh, it's all a pack of lies, all of it. And, of course, nobody's pressing him on the Larry Sinclair debacle. And those listeners that don't remember that, well, Larry Sinclair is the gentleman, white gentleman, who swears, and he's written a book about it, that he was a male prostitute for hire, that he enjoyed sex with Barack Obama, as well as cocaine hitting, and testifies that there was a love triangle with gentleman in the church congregation that evidently got jealous over his relationship with Sinclair, and the guy was shut up in the campaign. This is all an important part of who this man, this imposter, is.
Well, he was more than shut up. He was murdered.
Murdered. That's what I mean.
And that was announced the morning of the murder, prior to it being announced by the police. And that was Reverend Wright that announced that. And one of the morning services, Larry Sinclair was not sure if it was the first service or the second one, but both services occurred at least starting time before noon. And it wasn't until noon or 12:30 in the afternoon when the announcement that Donald Young, the church's music minister and choir director, had been murdered in his home. Then we heard the obligatory, the Chicago police are investigating. And then there were two other deaths. One I wrote about appeared to have been AIDS-related. And then another one was a murder. And although the media was saying it was a suicide. Well, we've heard that word so many times. Where's Jack Kevorkian when you need a second opinion?
Mm-hmm.
He'd be the expert on suicide. So, you're right in bringing that up. And also the fact that Larry Sinclair passed his lie detector test too, by the way.
Right, right. And, you know, there's so much more of, the allegations of Obama's bisexuality, you know, his frequenting of the steam houses, Rome Emanuel, and his contacts as well. I mean, this thing is just, man, where in the world did they drag this guy up from?
Well, I don't remember all the names of the test tube and beaker manufacturers, but could look into that. I got another clip here. I might as well play a few of these because it's
sure. It's great.
This is under 2 minutes. We're going to hear 7 monstrous lies. I'll allow the listeners to just pay attention. What you're hearing, these assertions, especially historical quotes, are not accurate whatsoever. But they keep repeating these sayings and giving credit to Zionist judges who are affiliated with Harvard University. Not exclusively. There are a couple of different statements being made.
I'll make our government open and transparent so that anyone can ensure that our business is the people's business. As Justice Louis Brandeis once said, sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. And as president, I'm going to make it impossible for congressmen or lobbyists to slip pork barrel projects or corporate welfare into laws when no one's looking, because when I'm president, meetings where laws are written will be more open to the public, no more secrecy. That's a commitment I make to you as president. No more secrecy. And when there's a bill that ends up on my desk as president, you, the public, will have 5 days to look online and find out what's in it before I sign it, so that you know what your government's doing. When there are meetings between lobbyists and a government agency, we'll put as many of those meetings as possible online for every American to watch. When there's a tax bill being debated in Congress, you will know the names of the corporations that would benefit and how much money they would get. And we will put every corporate tax break and every pork barrel project online for every American to see. You will know who asked for them, and you can decide whether your representative is actually representing you.
Now, it doesn't matter who told him to say all this. None of this is true. Even the quote from Justice Brandeis is not true. Would you like to comment on this, Dr. Ryan?
Well, I remember hearing that speech, in fact, and I thought, wow, he sure is believable. You know, the rhetoric was, he said all the right things. And, I'm reminded of a discussion I had with Jeff Renz. I was just amazed that he would keep entertaining another fraud, and that's Bert Stubblebean and Rima Labow and their Health Freedom Foundation, whatever the heck they call it, Natural Solutions. But he says, well, she keeps saying all the right things. She knows she's saying all the right things. Well, this man says all the right things, but his actions are much, much louder. So,
yeah, I agree. Now, you're in the medical community. the naturopathic medical community. When did the term disinfectant start to be used?
Oh, golly, as far as sunlight being a natural disinfectant, it's not a disinfectant at all. But as the term, golly, that's a fairly modern term. I don't know the specific date or time.
Yeah, well, the justice died in 1941 on the 3rd of October. I don't even remember when I was growing up in the 50s and the 60s, anybody talking about disinfectants. And to me, I think hydrogen peroxide would be much better than the sun, to tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah, and alcohol.
Yeah.
Well, I see your point there. Yeah, you're right. The study of sunlight, ultraviolet light, as a disinfectant, even that, if that term disinfectant was used, the analysis of ultraviolet light as a disinfectant is like in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They quote in his biography, they quote the statement, "Publicity is justly commended as a remedy for social and industrial diseases. Sunlight is said to be the best of disinfectants, electric light the most efficient policeman." And I guess they've turned that into tasers. So.
Oh.
Oh. You know, just because it's printed in there, you know, in an article doesn't make it true. When I did this research, I was taking quotes out of the book, both books that he allegedly had written. And I had read some of Bill Ayer's writings, and there were a multiplicity of studies done on the syntax of the book. And out of the five computer studies that were done, the computer said that it would have been William Ayers that penned that book.
No doubt about it. Yeah, there's a lot of speculation that that's who ghostwrote it for him. And I agree with that. I do. The philosophies in the book is straight Bill Ayers, the Weather Underground. Very dangerous organization, ladies and gentlemen. There's no, you know, the only reason why Bill Ayers is not in a cell serving a very long sentence is because of a few legal technicalities. That's it.
Yes, and I suppose Hillary Clinton probably has a little bit to do with that too, doesn't she?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at all. This, yeah, and you know, I just marvel at the, you know, this wedding of the Clintons, marrying this fellow with a definitely Russian connection, and to have the power to institute a multi-mile wide no-fly zone over the wedding ceremony. Yeah, is this America anymore? It's going to be to me more and more a complete oligarchical, you know, dictatorship, it seems like.
And this is another Russian that works with Goldman Sachs too.
Yes. Yes. Good point.
You got to have somebody in the family in there. It's not enough now, to just pull the strings. Oh my goodness. Well, we have to stay on these things and keep reminding people what's going on. Now there are, I've got one more clip that I want to play, but I'm not going to play it just yet. It's a little bit longer of a clip than what we've heard. But it's a whole series of gaffes and lies and mistakes and an obvious confusion over what's being said, what's being asked. And it really underscores everything that we've talked about. Now, why are we talking about this? Well, because we have to. Number one, the mainstream media is not going to do it. And then we have, tomorrow night I'm going to actually be my own guest, and I'm going to do a monologue on illusion. And, of course, the lies that we're being told with what's going on in the Gulf plays a part, but more so the lies that are being told and the truth that's not being told about what's actually going on in the financial community. And really, I want to address the issue of where our true power lies, because these are all this is all bait that's been cast out in front of us, and hoping that we'll grasp onto something that we can identify with. People say, well, you know, my big beef is abortion. They every election they bring up abortion and then they do nothing about it. Okay. I think anyone with any common sense could make their own responsible decision. In fact, if you teach people personal responsibility, they don't need the government, an incompetent, lying, deceitful, murderous government telling them what to do. We're told things like the internet, you can't trust anything on the internet, and he was making promises to put all this stuff online. That was a lie. And all they've done is tried to interfere with anyone who's actually speaking the truth. You know, even if we were wrong, even if we were lying to the people, is it as bad to lie on the internet as it is on mainstream television and radio?
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm asking a rhetorical question here. Of course, we're not lying. We're telling the truth. It's obvious he lied right there. What else can you call it? Well, it was a, did he forget what he said? Well, he could always turn on the teleprompter and go back and reread what he did. In this next clip that I'm going to play in a few moments, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to some of this if you feel like it. We're actually going to hear a portion of the clip where he's reading the guest's portion of the teleprompter script. In other words, he's reading the other person's part. And he's thanking himself.
Well, you know, I just there's neurolinguistics that you can tell a voice pattern and tell if a person is being deceitful or not. Well, with him, it's pretty much obvious. You know, you can easily tell when he's lying. Easy, his mouth is moving.
Yeah. And we've seen every demonstration, it's as though he's the one leading a mutiny on his own ship, the ship that he captains. Okay, he's leading the mutiny, and you want to talk about multiples, you know, multiple personalities, alters. We're given two right here, just in these clips that we're playing. But there are many, many more. He makes some comments about disabled people and joking about himself, but comparing himself to disabled people who don't have a choice. And, mm-hmm. and I see a person like that is really the disabled person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've worked with people for some time who have disabilities, and I've witnessed miracles, and the people that ran the facility where I contributed to produce these miracles, you know, the miracles happen amongst the people working together. No one person takes credit for that. You give that credit to God anyway. But with the Spirit of God presiding over such an event, you will witness a miracle. Someone whose hand is paralyzed all of a sudden can go back to playing piano again because they're encouraged to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't make fun of those people, but the people that ran the facility for the county, it was a county service. It was a nonprofit organization. The only people who were profiting were the people that ran it. And, of course, the hearts of the workers there that were helping the clients, as they like us to call them, we're in the right place, and so these things were witnessed. But I was told, we don't want miracles. We don't get paid for miracles. They were just in it for the money. They couldn't care less. And so to hear somebody that professes to stand up for the small individual, the weak, the downtrodden, the poor, and make comments like that is very disingenuous. You wanna comment on that before I play this?
No, I wanna hear it and then we'll make comments. Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is a little bit longer clip here, but I'll be quiet during this.
Sorry.
Bless you.
I was fighting that off for a while.
That's all right.
Let me put it this way. I don't know, Garrett, how to
I'm very, very proud to live in a country that is willing to elect an elegant man president.
Dun, 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 dun.
But I think he handles himself with such grace. In my lifetime, we haven't had a president that had the grace that our present president does.
He didn't take a little beating for the Jews. Rush Limbaugh didn't waste any time either going after the president and the media. Let's give that a listen.
The president throws like a girl. He golfs like a girl, admittedly. He throws like a cock. George W. Bush is a man. George W. Bush fired a strike first pitch Yankee Stadium after 9/11. They made fun of Bush. Obama's a big athletic klutz, and the drive-bys are trying to portray him as the second coming of Michael Jordan.
I don't even care that he throws like a girl. The mom jeans do bother me a little bit. Come on.
Sam,
always can say it.
And I
a speech worthy of Abraham Lincoln.
Hey, I didn't want to get into a Nancy Reagan thing about you know doing any seances.
I bowled a 129.
That's very good, Mr. President.
This is like Special Olympics.
No,
I think there's no doubt that.
This is the kind of speech I think first graders should see, people in the last year of college should see before they go out in the world. This should be, to me, an American track.
The time has changed for come. The time has changed for come.
Let me be absolutely clear. Israel is a strong friend of Israel's.
I thought that Obama's brilliant. I mean, it's just, we're starting to hear from so many historians and people say, you know, this is one of the brightest presidents, one of the most adept that we've had perhaps in our lifetime.
And I want to be very clear that we are resolved to halt the rise of privacy in that region. The reforms we seek would bring greater competition, choice, savings, and inefficiencies to our healthcare system.
We are counting on you. There's much to celebrate from the FBI's first 100 days.
Obama standing above the country, above the world. He's sort of God.
A culture of scientific innovation. In addition to John, sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead and move it up. I had already introduced all you guys.
In America, it is written into our founding documents as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In France,
Liberté. Absolutely.
While Obama's on the way to the podium, the teleprompter very craftily, very shiftily, put in the right text for the Irish guy, and Obama starts reading that. And he continues to read it until he thanks himself.
I do know that this White House is very much an intellectual hot house. It's a little different. Well, it's obviously different than the last White House, but there are certain intellects which are like fluorescent, and they are taking over the place. And the president is one of them.
I don't know what the term is in Austrian. Wheeling and dealing. What you're now seeing is profit and earning ratios.
Welcome, the Cinco de Cuatro. Cinco de Mayo at the White House. We are a day early. It's embarrassing when Europeans come over here. They all speak English, they speak French, they speak German. And then we go over to Europe, and all we can say is, de cinco de cuatro. And I believe the nation that invented the automobile cannot walk away from it.
This is Obama mistaking the French windows for a door at the White House.
He just moved
in. Now, do you think if that was Bush, do you think that would be all over the place? But the thing is about Obama, he's just so adorable when he's confused.
Now,
you gotten lost in here yet?
I have, repeatedly. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, I think what it is, Tim, is ultimately, Matt, you know, Tim, I think that all of us... Well, Tim, first of all, it's...
I'm going to bring in Ron Williams from Aetna, CEO of Aetna. Mr. Williams, Aetna.
Well, I want to say that Mr. Walters has been very cooperative. We've been having a series of conversations, and I...
What was the Sanford and Son? I'm coming, Wheezy. Here in St. Louis.
Daddy, what city are you in?
I'm in Kansas City, sweetie. How's it going, sunshine?
The University of Texas in Brownville.
Now, you know, there have been that. Let me put it this way. I don't know, Garrett, how to.
What I am saying is that I don't know all the facts.
I think what we need right now is honesty with the American people about where we would take the country. That's how I'm trying to run my campaign. That's how I will be as president.
If that same diabetic ends up getting their foot amputated, that's $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. Immediately, the surgeon is reimbursed.
Last week, there was a tragedy in Kansas. 10,000 people died. An entire town destroyed.
One man from Illinois lost his coverage in the middle of chemotherapy because his insurer found that he hadn't reported gallstones that he didn't even know about. They delayed his treatment, and he died because of it.
The Wall Street Journal reports Otto Raditz did not die because of delays. His insurance policy was reinstated within 3 weeks, and he later received a stem cell transplant. Raditz died this year, nearly 4 years after the initial problems.
Dun, 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 dun.
Now, there are a couple of points, Dr. Ott, that I'd like to make. Number one, this disaster, actually 11 people died, not 10,000. Mm-hmm. The cost that would be reimbursed for an amputee to the doctor would be $600, not $50,000. And there were many, many serious gaffes in that whole thing. Just total disinformation, really. That's my new impersonation.
Well, you know, that's why he is rapidly becoming the teleprompter president. Should we call him Telebama? Telebama Tubby? the purple Teletubby. I mean, he can't really function without the teleprompter. I mean, when you even have to go into a school setting with the kids and have a teleprompter. I mean, this guy, man, how in the world did he even get to this point?
Mind control.
It has to be.
What else?
It has to be.
Yeah. I got an IM here that says that Lieutenant Colonel Larkin, who is, by the way, refusing to be deployed overseas because of the illegitimacy of this presidency, is being set for court-martial. He refuses to accept orders on the belief that Obama is not an American, thus cannot be the commander-in-chief. And the trial is set for the 6th of August. So just an update. The statement about the mental health care of the military is an outright lie. They do everything they can to confound the minds of the military. You've written quite a bit on that very topic. You want to comment on that or anything else you heard here beyond the teleprompter?
Well, yeah, one of the things that this Teletubby is not talking about, again, is the suicide rate among our active military and returning military. This is just continuing to skyrocket. The problems that you have with these drugs and or vaccines, too, the combining are the root cause of this. It's just suicide rates, the abuse rates are all-time high, ratio speaking, and there's no end of this in sight. Nobody's really discussing it. I'm going to probably be broaching the subject with Drew Raines on Wednesday's show, but it's a real concern among active duty military.
Yes. I had Dr. Gay Larned on the show with Drew last Thursday, and we discussed some of her research in the area of traumatic brain injuries and also post-traumatic stress disorders. And she claims that she can save the Veterans Administration billions of dollars with some of the studies and the available technologies that she brings forth for that very purpose, that a soldier doesn't necessarily have to have the bomb go off in his or her immediate vicinity to suffer some sort of injury to the brain. And I have to tell you, she is herself a walking miracle. This is a lady who is intuitively hearing. She had scarlet fever when she was very young, and she became deaf, and she doesn't use her ear canals to hear. And she did a half an hour interview with me, and then I made that announcement on the show, and I got quite a response from the listening audience in that regard. They couldn't imagine that they were listening to a deaf woman talk on a radio interview where she can't see my lips move, she can't read lips, and she did a marvelous job. So it shows that she knows what she's talking about from personal experience, and that this is just one approach, but very convincing studies that she's done. And I wanted to mention that in light of what you just said, there are things out there, there are people that are working on this and really care. And she's devoting her mission now to the U.S. military. We have many of those people listening to the show tonight. And Drew has her on just about every week now on Fridays. But go ahead, comment.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. I had not heard that or did not know that about her, but yeah, there's a lot of research too as far as what minerals are needed to help restore the brain function. You've got the platinum group minerals, specifically your iridium and rhodium, but more than anything now we're finding that the primary number three element on the table, lithium, is essentially important to help balance out the brain chemistry and even help restore neural pathways. When you're under a lot of stress, the post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, that there's brain reactions when you're under stress, and the adrenals, the hormones that are imbalanced because of that. When a soldier is put back into peacetime structure, and that they really need some minerals to help them along the way, to help them rebuild those neural pathways.
Well, yes. A thought that enters my mind here too. We've got a few more minutes. We've got maybe 8-9 more minutes, and then we're going to have to wrap. The fact that soldiers in general are not really taught the reason they're performing the duties they're performing, especially overseas. When they invade a country, they're given a reason, but it's never based on the truth. And on some level, I would presume that they sense this. Certainly when they start experiencing things and seeing firsthand what's going on. A perfect example would be Iraq or Afghanistan. Obama recently made some comments on The View, and I had someone call me up, said, you know, I know you don't watch television, but you gotta listen to this. You can't believe what I'm hearing. And I caught maybe a minute or two. Barbara Walters came out of retirement to interview him along with the other girls. And she asked about the plans for Iraq and Afghanistan. And these were sort of like Tavistock answers. He said, well, we have to get out of Iraq. And the way it struck me is he was saying someone has ordered us to get out of Iraq. Someone bigger than me, someone bigger than our government has ordered us out of Iraq. And in light of some of my research, I've seen more than once that the Russians are trying to acquire oil wells in Iraq. And that plays right into the scenario going on in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, the average person takes that to mean, oh, well, we have to end the war. And that has been another of the lies that we were told. In fact, they stepped up the number of troops. There's 150,000 troops in Afghanistan. Doing what? Guarding the poppy fields? Now, he made two distinctly different comments. He said, you have to understand the reptilian side of the brain. I didn't know the reptilian side of the brain was a side, first of all. But then he said, we have two major problems. We have these warlords that are trying to take over the country. Well, first of all, it was their country, and they were engaging in war. The war didn't start until we went over there under the pretext that Osama bin Laden was responsible for 9/11, which was another series of lies. Too much for this show. Then he said, the other element is the profusion of terrorist associates. And I thought, terrorist associates, that's an interesting term. Those are people who deal with terrorists. Who are the terrorists? It's clear to anyone who's really watching what's going on. And any country that imposes themselves upon another country, attacking, bombing all the cities, murdering innocent men, women, and children, are the real terrorists. Your comments.
Absolutely. We seem to lose track of the, you know, the casualties in Afghanistan, and more than ever, you know, the huge amount of widows, orphans especially, and even children themselves that have been killed. The Amnesty International figures, I don't know how many millions now it is, but it's tragic. And these are people that really have not done anything deserving of this type of torture or pain. Is that a definition of terrorism? I mean, America lost 3,800 or so in the events of 9/11, but does that justify in any way, shape, and form the death and torture of millions of innocent Iraqis? There were no Iraqis in those box-cutting terrorist lists, and Saddam Hussein did all pretty much the right thing in vocally condemning the attacks as well. I mean, it's a much, much deeper issue. I submit, Don, that it goes back into, again, the so-called Babylonian Talmudic teachings, the Talmud of the Khazarians, the Khazars, versus the Sephardic Jews. It's literally titled the Babylonian Talmud. What does that mean? Well, Babylon is the historic city of these people, where they originated from, and the historical land of Babylon is between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, which of course is modern day Iraq. So I think intuitively, and as well as, you know, just seeing how things are unfolding, the Zionist true goal is not Palestine, it's not Jerusalem. They want that as a power base, but they really do want to go back to their roots of Babylon and create a new Babylonian empire.
Mm-hmm. Now, one more item before we call it a night here. One more item I want to discuss, and I know you wanted to talk about this too. The publisher, editor of the International Currency Review, Global Analysis, and a series of other publications, Soviet Analyst, and many books which are published on the international financial community for some 38 years, Christopher Story in London, England, hadn't posted a story since about July 1st, but he did an update on July 10th, and we didn't hear anything. I was actually checking his site on a daily basis, as were many others, and people were asking me if anything had come out from him recently. All of a sudden, on Friday, July the 30th, just a few days ago, there appeared at 1:47 London time in the afternoon, there appeared a story. Christopher Story died peacefully at home on 14th July 2010, after a short illness. Book orders will continue to be accepted as usual. However, there may be a short delay in processing existing orders. His family are grateful for their privacy at this sad time. That's all we heard of Christopher Story's passing, although there were numerous disinformation stories saying that he was gunned down while walking on the street. There have been more recent allusions to the fact that he may have been poisoned and that he remarked something to that effect, the short illness being the poisoning. Your reaction on this?
I really don't know any more than that. I have not had the internet, since Friday. I just got back online tonight. I just don't know what to make of the story. The Leo Wanta connections and the reports that came out, I would either think he was told to go underground, he'd done enough, or he is in fact dead. We need to verify that story.
Yeah, my take intuitively is that he is still alive and that he was told to step down, basically, and probably paid a handsome sum to do so, which is his privilege, I guess. But it doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, there's no funeral listing or obituary that I know of. So it's interesting to see that just a little blip like that would come out. I think it's very strange.
And I think it's intended to dishearten those that see some hope and some resolution to the worldwide financial crisis. It will do anything to obfuscate the truth. So,
yep, that's a good point. We need to keep abreast of this story and report on it. So with that, I will say good night. It's been a pleasure for the last hour and so. Don, it's always fun being on your show. Thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure as well. The website is atrueot.com, atrueot.com. And the show is The Story Behind the Story, heard Monday through Friday on the microeffect.com. True, thank you for being on the show. We'll look forward to your visit next week. And
my pleasure.
Happy browsing.
Good night. Good night, folks.
All right. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio, and tonight's special guest, Dr. A. True Ott. Again, he'll be with us next week. Actually, that will be on the 9th or the 10th, depending on where you are in the world. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com. Also want to thank Seth Hendrick at BBS Radio. On the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when yours truly will be his special guest. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.